chooses the timing for these focuses. That's not for me to question. It's only for me to follow and obey. And the focus on faith is not because we do not have faith as APC, but because God has many more blessings, answers, and experiences that He desires to give us, and those are going to come via our faith. God's Word, including Hebrews 11, which we'll read from in just a moment, demonstrates that so much can happen by faith. By faith. There is nothing impossible with God. And thank you for that response. There is nothing impossible with God. So when you have faith in God, you can expect the impossible to become and be made possible. So instead of saying, I don't know what I'm going to do, that changes and says, I don't know what God is about to do. It's true, we still don't know, but there's a different way of not knowing. But with a faith in God, we know that He will take care of it all. And so the Lord has given this message and this focus on faith. And I have prayed that the Lord will use this message to encourage you to continue with whatever faith you have, and then to begin anew, if that's what is needed, to focus on further development of your faith and further use of faith in your life. And I submit to you today, set a determination that you're going to take whatever actions necessary to cultivate, to increase, and to exercise the faith that you have. Hebrews chapter 11, and we're going to read from verses 4 and 5. The action phrase by faith, which means by the use of faith, is used 15 times in this one chapter. And there's even one other verse that has a twin phrase that says through faith. So at least 16 times God is reminding us that things can happen by or through faith. Verse 4, by faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he, Abel being dead, yet speaks. And then by faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and he was not found because God had translated him. Because or far before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. So I'm preaching this morning by faith. By faith. And you may be seated. The very first verse of that chapter, Hebrews 11, 1, is a good summary of what God means and what we are going to experience when God talks about having faith. Here's Hebrews 11 and 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. In other words, faith involves the experience of not having actual physical proof, but your believing and your faith is all the proof and all the evidence that you need. Normally and naturally, we feel like we need other evidence, but the scripture says here that faith is enough. Faith is the substance. That word substance in the scripture, it comes from a legal term which literally means a title deed. So faith is the title deed. If I have the title deed to my vehicle, and it's in my possession, the title deed is, I don't need to see my car to know that I have it. I can't see my vehicle right now, but I believe I have that vehicle. I don't have to see it. And I believe and I know that it is mine because the title deed. It doesn't matter if somebody else comes along and says, that vehicle belongs to me. They could say that all they wanted to. But the title deed says, the substance says, it belongs to me. Your faith is like that. Your faith says, this answer belongs to me. God's power belongs to me. God's answer and blessing and favor belongs to me. How do you know that? Well, I have the title deed. What's the title deed? Well, I've got faith. Now, the world will argue that that is not very solid, that that will not stand up in court. But I'm going to tell you, a title deed will stand up in court. The title deed is our faith. And then he says, it is also the evidence. Faith is the evidence of things that we can't see. We want to see it and set it up here and say, here's the evidence. But God says faith is the evidence. That's why when we pray, oftentimes we say, I haven't seen it yet, but God has heard me. And you may not be able to see my healing yet, or my husband saved, or my child saved, or I may not actually have seen the deliverance as yet, but faith is the evidence of things. It is the proof. It's something that proves the invisible that can be proved no other way. So the translation you could write for Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1 would be this. Now faith is the title deed, or is my title deed, of things I am hoping for, and it is the proof of things I have not as yet seen. If we have God and faith in God, we have enough. I feel a little something in my natural mind and in my natural thinking to want to kind of prove it to you a little better. I can't do it. All I can say is what God said. Faith is the title deed of the things that you're hoping for. And your faith is the proof. And Jesus talked in one place about seeing and not seeing yet and still believing. So faith says, I accept it. I believe it, and I know that God has heard me, and he is going to work it according to his will. It sounds really basic and simple, and it sounds shallow to an extent, but I'm going to tell you, this title deed will stand up. This title deed of your faith. And here's what's true. Faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we cannot see. Ooh, hallelujah. Instead of when I see it, I'm going to believe it. Our faith says, I'm certain of what I cannot see. Not seeing and yet believing. Here's the reality. And this could help us. If we don't have faith, then there will never be enough evidence to convince us. And if you do have faith, no evidence is needed. What evidence do we have, literal, physical, that there is a God? Very few of us in here have literally seen God by way of a vision or a dream. Maybe some have. Some have heard the actual audible voice, but even that, you have not seen where that voice come from. So we could be argued against and say, you're believing in something you have not seen. You're believing in a God that you have not seen. Yes, because faith is the title deed. I do have God because I have faith in him and in his power and in his greatness. So I don't need evidence. Here it is. And this can help us again. Don't demand evidence to see God or hear an audible voice from God or even see a miracle from God to believe in God. Just say, I'm going on faith. This world wants us to explain. This world wants us to analyze and then write out the analysis and say, okay, here's the proof. We're never going to be able to do that. It's only by our faith, and this God who always meets faith will display himself. Now, faith is not denying reality, but rather faith is acknowledging reality and choosing to believe the word of God anyhow. So it's not about denying reality. It's about accepting reality and say, yes, I accept reality, but I also accept the reality of the Word of God. I know he said he's a Savior. I know he said he's a healer. I know he said he is, and he has proven in his ministry here, he is a miracle worker. Faith is the place, somebody said, between the way things are and the way things are going to be. Faith is the place between the way things are and the good that is surely to come. Faith is also having to and living with unanswered questions. Just because you still have questions does not mean you do not have faith. Because in this world, in heaven, everything will be answered. But on this life, everything will never be totally answered. But living by faith means living with some unanswered questions. I'm going to tell you, I heard just recently of a young ministry couple in an accident. The woman died immediately. The man died about a week later. Precious people, leaving five children. I have shaken my head more than once, and I've said it out loud. I do not understand that. That's not the way I would have liked to have seen that happen. But here's what we know. God knows not only more than we know, he knows better than we know. And it's a little bit easier, a whole lot easier for me to say this than for those family members to say that. But here's what I know. There are some family members in that very family that are saying the very same thing. We can't answer it. We don't know. But by faith, I know he's a loving God. By faith, I know he is a good God. So I want to help somebody that the devil has argued with you that you don't have faith because you have questions. No, faith is living with some unanswered questions. Here's what I believe. Having faith supersedes having answers. Now, we'll take all the answers we can get. And we love answers because it makes us feel better. And it fits everything together in our natural thinking. And God gives us answers many times. He doesn't withhold from us all the time. But there are some times that there are unanswered questions. But I want to answer the argument of the enemy today against you because you are carrying some unanswered questions in your life or with your family or in personal matters. You can live with those unanswered questions and still have faith in God. I read what one missionary said. Here's what faith is, what this missionary who was serving in China, and he wrote back, his wife couldn't be with him at the time, and they were in a time of great need. He just wrote back and said, we have 25 cents and all the promises of God. That's faith. That's faith. That's faith. Because our human mind, and somebody in here is like this right now, focuses on what we don't have. But could I, by the Holy Ghost, just gently take your face and turn it in the direction of what you do have? You do have God. You do have his word. You do have his promise. You do have his compassion. You do have his love. Oh yes. And this is where faith steps up and rises up. I realize what I don't have, but I also more so realize who I do have and what I do have. Hebrews 11 displays what can happen by faith. It says that Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. He obtained a witness that he was righteous from that. And God, well, there's something in testimony to have God testify for you and about you. Now, there's something. We stand and say, I want to thank the Lord. Or we testify, I want to thank the Lord for what he's got. God stands up and testifies and says, I want to thank brother. I want to thank sister for the faith and the confidence and the resolve to continue to trust and continue to be righteous. Faith is what Abel did when he obeyed the sacrifice plan of God, which was animal blood sacrifice. And there was another plan which Cain followed, the fruit, the vegetable, produce of the land plan. That was easier and maybe more convenient. But God evidently had specified, I want the animal and the blood sacrifice. So faith is simply believing and acting according to God's word like Abel did, even when there seems to be another and an easier way. I won't preach to you today that in the situation that you are in, that there's not another way. I won't tell you there's not an easier or more convenient way. But faith accepts God's word and God's way and God's promise, even when there is an easier and a more convenient way. Our flesh will automatically be drawn to, I want the safest way. I want the easier way. I want the more convenient way. But your faith steps that aside and pushes that aside and says, this is harder. I wish I could preach to you that having faith was easy too. Well, when you just look at God and all he's done, that helps and makes it easier. But we forget we still got this flesh to deal with that wants all this tangible evidence, that doesn't believe that faith is enough of a title deed. We got to have a title deed of having the actual healing happen or having the actual relationship put back together. But faith, just faith alone. And so there is an easier way to get to where you want to go. But God's way is the best way. And if you'll just hold off instead of acting by flesh and acting by human calculation, there may be an easier and more convenient way. But by faith, Abel said, I'm going to do it according to God's way. And then Enoch, the Bible says, was translated in verse 5 that he did not see death. And this next phrase kind of makes me smile, because there were people looking for him evidently. And I don't blame him. Dad didn't come home from work today. Hubby didn't come home from work today. Uncle didn't show up. Friend didn't come out to the fence after work to chat and was not found. But here's why. Because God translated him. Okay. Let's put it where we are. Somebody's supposed to show up today, and they don't show up. And somebody said, where are they? Well, God translated them. That's the response right there. That's the way all of them felt. Where's Enoch? God translated him. Yeah, right. But God can do the impossible. And that translation many times has been used to typify the rapture. I believe it does. Because there's going to be a day. There's going to be a day. The Lord's coming back. There really is going to be a day when folks are going to be looking for you. I hope they don't find you. That's one hide and go seek game I want to win. There is going to be a trumpet to sound. A And it isn't far off, and that's a whole nother message on the signs of the times that we are living in. You know, it does take faith to believe in the coming of the Lord. But you know what? We all have some form of faith. Because our faith says we know the Lord is coming, we try to get ready and prepare ourselves by receiving the baptism of the Holy Ghost, repenting and being baptized in Jesus' name, and then living a holy and godly life after. But here's another form of that faith. If somebody doesn't respond, if somebody doesn't repent or be baptized in Jesus' name or come down to receive the Holy Ghost, they do have faith. They have faith that they're going to be all right, at least for a little while. I just want to aim your faith in the right direction. This thing is serious and this thing is wrapping up. And it's important for us to believe that there is the soon coming of the Lord Jesus Christ and that we need to make ourselves ready. And I know when preachers preach like this, sometimes there's the accusation, he's trying to scare me. I'm not trying to scare you at all. I'm trying to direct your faith in the right direction. Instead of sitting there and not repenting today, or if you need to be baptized and not being baptized in Jesus' name, or not receiving the Holy Ghost, instead of that kind of faith that says, okay, I think I'm going to be okay. I probably don't have to do that. I probably don't have to live a holy life. Turn that kind of faith toward a faith that is obedient to the word of the Lord, which says, what manner of persons ought we to be, seeing that the coming of the Lord is right upon us? So Enoch believed God. He believed God meant what he said regarding the kind of lifestyle somebody is supposed to live, and he lived it and he pleased God according to that verse. And here's what strikes me. He did that by faith. Because if he would have done that by the norm or by culture, the rest of the world was unrighteous and they were not living for God. But that's the kind of true trusting and true faith that says God is always right. You know, that is one thing. I would just like to get a total amen on today, not for me, but for God. God is always right. I may not agree with him. I may not understand him. God, could you make this a little easier? We're walking upstream in this culture. It'd be a whole lot easier to live for God if we weren't walking against the culture. It'd be a whole lot easier to pastor if we weren't walking against the culture and having to call for some things and set some boundaries. It'd be a whole lot easier. But God is always right. And so that's why we can't mess around and change the Word of God. We can't mess around and change the plan of salvation. We can't fool with the idea, is there one God or more gods? We can't fool with the baptismal formula that's given in the word of the Lord. It is by immersion, and it is in the name of Jesus Christ. And when you are baptized in that name, all of your sins washed away. We have never cleaned sins out of the baptistry. We've cleaned other stuff out of there, but we've never cleaned sins. And I said, Brother Reaver used to do it, and Brother Chambers does it now. So they're the men that took care of that. But they've never found a sin in there. They found some sinful stuff, probably. But they never found a sin. How do you know all your sins are remitted? I want to preach to people that have been baptized in Jesus' name. I don't care what the devil says and what he drags out of your past and your closet. It's under the blood. And if we'll operate by faith with our brothers and sisters, we won't go pulling things out of the past and out of their closet. That's not living by faith. Living by faith says his blood covers it all. And I'm so glad his blood covers it all. He is a forgiving God. Here's another thing about that translation. It not only means rapture, but living by faith can give us the experience of a miraculous. We'd all agree that was pretty miraculous. On his way to and from somewhere or whatever he was doing, and all of a sudden he's not there. Miraculous. God took him from this earth to a much better circumstance and a much better place. I'm going to say there's going to be miraculous translations and transitions before you ever experience the rapture translation. Because living by faith and living in a faithful place will bring you a deliverance and will bring you a transfer and a transition and a translation from your current circumstances. If you feel pressed in, if you feel the pressure and the darkness of depression pressing over you and around you, I preach today that by your faith, God can give you a translation, and you will no longer be in that pit or that place of depression, but you will be set in a new and a better circumstance in this life. And by the way, like it happened with Enoch, it's going to happen suddenly. It doesn't use that word in this verse. But that phrase, "and was not," this kind of says, whoop, right in the middle of a step, suddenly, probably unexpected to him, as well as to his family. That's how your answer is going to come. I proclaim it by faith in the name of the Lord right now. You live like Enoch lived, pleasing God and having a testimony from God that you are authorized as his child. There is going to be a sudden translation, and you will be from one dimension in the spirit and one dimension in this life, and you will go to another dimension. You are not always going to live under that oppression. You are not always going to live under that shadow. But because you are, and we all have battles, and no matter how spiritual or how much faith we have, there are going to be struggles and there are going to be challenges that all of us have. But God can do it in a split second. And suddenly, and he was not. That problem was not. That circumstance is not because of faith. How did that happen for you, Enoch? By faith. By faith. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet. Warned of God of things not seen as yet. Noah preached some similar themes to what we're preaching today. He preached about things that haven't happened yet. We were preaching about the coming of the Lord that hasn't happened yet. But he was warned of God of those things not seen as yet. But he was moved with respect or fear for God. He had a consciousness about God and a fear and a reverence for the word of the Lord that said, God, if you said it, I know you mean it. And I know it's true. And you are always right. And so Noah obeys and prepares an ark to the saving of his house. By faith, Noah obeyed God's word to preach. And he was probably a lone voice. And to build an ark and to predict rain and a flood. He did all of that when righteousness was out of step with his culture and in his mind. Many times what you do in reaction to the word of God and to your activity of faith is going to be against and out of step with culture. But I want to encourage you, walk on in faith anyway. Act on, behave in faith anyway. This natural phenomenon that we know so familiar with of rain and flood had never been seen or had never happened before. What great faith Noah displays, believing God was going to do something that had never been seen before. God wants to bring us as a church family and as individuals and as particular families to a dimension where we believe for things that have never been seen before. We're not after those things for the glory and the hype. Noah wasn't after those things for the glory and the hype. We are after it for the glory of God and for the remedying of situations in our hearts and answers to come. We're believing God for things that have never been seen before. I would like to ask you, congregation, are you okay with believing God for things that have never been seen before? And by okay, I'm not necessarily meaning to get your permission. But are you on board, and will you link your faith and say, look, I want to see some things that have has never happened before. I know people have abused that. I know so-called faith healers and others have abused the dramatic and the spectacular. But we cannot let that dampen. We cannot let that stop us from believing God for things that have never happened before. We need it here at APC. We need it in our individual lives. We need it in our families. Things that have never been seen before. How did you do that, Noah? Just by faith. Did you always feel just so powerful? No. Because I was walking by faith and not by feelings. I didn't always feel like this was going to happen. But my faith says it's going to happen. Whatever miracle you need today, God is able to take care of that need. There are going to be times that God and your faith in Him is going to call you to do things. Listen to me. To say things and make decisions and take actions that you have never taken before and that you have never experienced before. But I just submit to you, trust God. I pray for a courage on this congregation right now. I want to repeat that God is going to take you and call you to do things and say things and make decisions and take actions that you have not taken or that you have not experienced before. But just trust God. Brother Wolf, if you could just give me a little bit more to go on. The reason I'm putting that on you is because that's the way I'm feeling right now. In my flesh. But I don't need anything more to preach than God, and He's able. Than that God and His Word is always right. Whatever it is that God has instructed or informed you to do, go ahead and believe Him and obediently follow up on God's Word and on His instruction. God will provide. Verse 20 said, by faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau, his sons. Look what he blessed them in concerning things to come. The latter days of his life, he blesses both of those boys concerning things to come. There's a whole lot wrapped in that phrase concerning things to come. Future family, future direction, future ministry, future kingdom, all of that. By faith, eyes, and then by faith, Jacob, verse 21. When he was a dying, you can be dying and still have faith. The devil nor death, age nor time. I appreciate our precious elders. I just feel like pausing here right now and saying thank you for your example and thank you for your faith and thank you for not giving up on faith. In fact, many times you are the ones who say, well, back in my lifetime, back in this day, here's what I have witnessed God doing. And it encourages our faith. Thank you. He was dying, but he blessed both the sons of Joseph, Ephraim and Manasseh. And he worshiped him, leaning upon the top of his staff. By faith, he worshiped him. Do you always feel it when you worship? No. This is what keeps sometimes people from really being free in worship. They feel like they have to have a certain feeling, or things have to be going just right, or that they have to be perfect. By faith, he worshiped. By faith. And here comes the accusation, well, all you've been going through, and I've even heard some doubt out of your mouth, you're not worthy to worship. Oh, yes, we are. No, I rephrase that. Oh, no, we're not. He's worthy of our worship. Our worship is not based on us. Our worship is not based on our circumstances. Our worship is by faith. In a God who is greater. There's none like him. We were singing about it earlier today. He's great. He can do miracles that are so great. He is wonderful. He is counselor. He's the mighty God. That's our faith in him. But Isaac, and Jacob both had the ability and the faith and the courage to speak over the future of their families. They spoke the blessings that God wanted to give their lineage that was to come. And they themselves wanted their children to experience great blessings. And so they spoke it and they prayed it. And here it is. And what they spoke came to pass. I want to say this to us today. That can happen for you if you will pray for your family by faith. And I say, if, I know that you already are. If you will continue and then ratchet it up and pour wood on and fuel on that fire. Keep praying. Do not give up praying for your parents. Do not give up praying for your grandparents. Grandparents, do not give up praying for your grandchildren. Parents, do not give up praying for your children. By faith, not by feeling, by faith, both of those men, Isaac and Jacob, prayed over the future of their families and their children. They wanted the promises of God. There is something powerful about one family member praying for another family member. And we're going to operate it today. And I want you to begin to have faith. In fact, you can begin to take faith and you can begin to pray in your spirit right now. But you pray over the future of your family. Here's what I know. I believe right now, this very day, my dad's still alive and I thank God for him, and I'm thankful for all the prayers that he has and he continues to pray. My mother has passed, but here's what I know. I believe I am walking underneath the covering of past prayers that that man and that precious lady prayed and others. I'm going to tell you, God bottles those prayers up. And somebody may pass, but God can answer the prayer after they are passed, because God never passes. So I encourage everybody in this room, somehow under the anointing of the Holy Ghost, pray over the future of your kids. Pray over the future of your family. By faith. How do I do that, Pastor? Just by faith. None of us know. We don't even, 20 years from now, my goodness, we don't know about tomorrow. So we can't go on our knowledge. But we do not need to go by feeling or by knowledge. But we go by faith. Praise God. Someday, I want Dad to write down some of the things he's prayed over me. God help that brat. That was back in the day. I don't know, maybe it still is. I'd like to know, and maybe I wouldn't like to know. But seriously, if it wasn't intruding so much, wouldn't it have been interesting to drop a microphone in the prayer closet at the altar? Not just family member, but friends. I met somebody the other day that I hadn't seen in a while. I was so glad I was able to tell them. They're not heading this direction at all. But somehow it just worked out. And I said, here's the day you're on in my prayer chain. Some of those names you pray for. Some of those names you remember when you look at what's happening, when you look at where they are right now. But you don't look at what's seen. Look at faith. Look at what faith can do. Hallelujah. If you've got something that you need from God, whatever answer it is, the Bible talks about in that same chapter that by faith they marched around the walls of Jericho. It took faith. I really don't know how many of them were walking. There were literally thousands of people with Israel. Maybe they just used the men of war. That would have in itself been hundreds. If it was the whole group, that was thousands of people. It was probably about 3/4 of a mile around Jericho. And so they walk. But the Bible says they were walking by faith. Now, if I'd have been in that march, I'd have been looking for cracks in the wall the first day. I want to know, I need some evidence. You've got all you need, Steve. I've given you a word. You've got all you need. God's going to bring that wall down. Day two, day three, day four, just keep having faith. Year one, year two, year three, year four, year six, year seven, year 20. Just keep walking by faith. And those walls, I proclaim it right now, that wall is coming down. That separation and that hindrance is coming down by the authority of the name of the Lord. Would you stand together? And if you have any kind of a need, or if you want to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, or want to repent, if you want to come and intercede and pray over the future of your family and friends, that ought to fill the altar, that in and of itself right there, to pray for others. But if you have a need also, if you want courage for God to help you, I'm just calling you to respond right now. Just respond by faith. You may not feel anything. You may not have enjoyed what's been said today, but that doesn't matter. That doesn't matter. It's by faith in God, by faith in His promise, by faith in His faithfulness. Hallelujah. And I want to encourage you, be bold and have courage like Isaac did and like Jacob did. Be bold and have courage and speak over the future. That's right. Speak into the future. Hallelujah. And remember, your title deed is the proof. Your faith is the very proof. Hallelujah. You're able, God. We believe you. We may be stepping out. We may be stepping out on nothing, but we're going to land on something, God. We're going to land on your will. We're going to land on your word. That's it. That's it. Call it out. That's it. Let your faith be verbalized. That's what Abraham had to do. He had to speak it out loud. Go ahead. I believe you now, Lord. I believe you. I pray against obstacles. I pray protection and provision. I pray against the challenges. I pray against attacks and accusations. Yes. I pray, Lord. Hallelujah. Yes, go ahead.